Our reading this evening is from the Old Testament and in our studies there in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 8 this evening. Deuteronomy and chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy feet swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths of spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. A land when thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good hand which he, for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thine herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Amen, and may God add his blessing to that reading of his own holy and inspired word. Psalm 27, as we continue our worship, singing at verse 11. O Lord, instruct me in thy way. To me a leader be in a plain path, because of those that hatred bear to me. Give me not to mine enemy's will, for witnesses that lie against me risen are, and such as breathe out cruelty. I fainted had, unless that I believed had to see the Lord's own goodness in the land of them that living be. Wait on the Lord and be strong, and he shall strength afford unto thine heart. Yea, do thou wait, I say, upon the Lord. Psalm 27, and we're singing from verse 11 to the end. O Lord, instruct me in thy way. We come tonight then to this passage we read together from Deuteronomy and chapter 8. And I want to try to maintain the momentum and look at this chapter in its entirety tonight. And if there's one way of trying to sum it up, and have it linger with us and apply to ourselves. It is that here we are told about the God who is more than equal for all and any changes that come into the life and experiences of his people. The Lord for all changes. We see that in the experience of these people as we're going to look at it, and we can take it and apply it to ourselves also. Because here, as we've been seeing time after time, the people are on the move. They are going where they have never been before. And it's good to see in these chapters we've already covered the way the Lord deals with them, preparing them for that journey, for that change, and what they will meet where they get there. We've seen earlier on the way in which these commandments are relevant for them, appropriate and essential when they get into this new land, as they are important and relevant for us today. We've seen the way in which the Lord promotes this beneficial attitude, the spiritual attitude. He's emphasizing the need for them to honor the Lord. And this theme that we keep on coming to, that people will be quite surprised at to hear it, but time after time, this theme of loving the Lord comes out for us in these opening chapters of Deuteronomy. And then last time we were in the book, we saw the way in which the Lord particularly addresses, who are you? Who are you? You are my people, my nation. But he goes further and he says, you are a holy people. You're a chosen people. You are a secure people. As you go on a journey and face these challenges. So now tonight, when we get into chapter 8, the Lord continues that work of preparation with them. But now he brings their thinking and the changes that they will go through. He brings these thoughts closer to us and to them and to the application of his word to them. He's now bringing home to them what might be there for them. No, what will be there for them as they go through this period of change. The dangers that are going to face them on the other side of the Jordan. And it's appropriate for us to take these words, lessons, and apply them to ourselves, because we're all subject to change, as we're going to see in a moment. Change is there for us every step of life. Might be big changes, yes. It might be changes very personal and intricate within our own life or family circle. It might be changes that are good and pleasant. It might be changes that are thoroughly baffling to us. But there are changes every one of us feel almost every day. And here we have the Lord who is equal to all of these changes. And the key that is set for us, and the word that is kept on being repeated here and in the book of Genesis, of Deuteronomy so far, is this word, remember. 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 As you go through a change, as your circumstances and providences change, the Lord whispers, no, shouts that same word to us. Remember. These wilderness years, they were far from easy for these people. But when they cross the Jordan, they're going to cope with a full range of new problems and different hazards. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments, his statutes and his commandments which I give thee this day. One danger, disobedience. Verses 12 and 13, when thou hast eaten and art full and built goodly houses and dwell wherein, thy herds and thy cattle and thy flocks and thy silver and thy gold. The danger of materialism. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. The distractions that all of these things give to them as they go through change and as they face these glittering, glamorous things that they've not seen for 40 years. Come down to verses 17 and 18. When you go through all these things and your heart is lifted up, I've achieved all these things. Look at what I've done. And then as they go into this new land, right at the very end it says, and it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord, walk after other gods. If you indulge in idolatry and be distracted from the Lord and walk in other ways. These are the things that are addressed here. And these are the dangers that come with them for change. And they are the same dangers that come to us when change comes upon us as well. Yes, the future was bright for them. But the future was not free from danger. It was all the brighter and it was all the more attractive because of where they had been in the wilderness for these past 40 years. But it's not all milk and honey. It's not all bliss. It's not all the sun in your face and the wind in your back. This is why the Bible is so realistic. It's balanced picture that it gives of what life is going to be like as you obey and as you follow the Lord. It strikes and it gives a balanced perspective, a perfect perspective of what is involved. Yes, there are going to be good times. The milk and the honey and all of that. But there will also be other times. The wilderness and all of that. It's not unbroken bliss. It's not free from all and every trouble. There are going to be ups and downs, yes. But there are also going to be new and fresh things that are going to come your way. Fresh things that are going to come into your life, and they're not always going to be agreeable and pleasant. That's the nature of change. And the danger that is highlighted here. Yes, remember, why is it constantly brought before us? Because of this, the danger with them, the danger with us as we go through a phase of changing, we forget what happened in the past. We forget his provision for us in our need then. And we forget his commandments that are abiding upon us now. The dangers, the problems, the hazards they're going to meet. And they're not limited to Old Testament thousands of years ago. They're with us today in moments of change. So therefore, life for us is full of changes. And it's coming more and more a life and an experience of change today. Let me illustrate it this way. I've only known one home in all of my life, a place that I would call home. 50 years, I was born there and I lived there for 50 years in Stornoway. One home. Mary, our daughter, she's only 32. So far, she's been in five homes. I've only been in one job. Our son John is 35 and he's been in four. There's a variety and there's a change. And that involves movement and training, meeting new people, fresh relationships, new routes, different patterns and habits of life and living, a whole variety of things. Also, there's disruptions. There's family disruptions when there are problems come within the family circle. There's retirement that comes at the end. Further changes. And in between all these markers that we put down, in between all of these markers, there's illness, unemployment, redundancy, just to mention two or three. Change comes in a whole variety of forms and shapes to us. Comes to us in modern living. And all of them are addressed from the principles that are given to us in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. And at the very start, we've mentioned the dangers already. with the change, we can forget. So therefore the key word, remember. Whatever the quality of the change, take care. Do not forget what the Lord has done for you in the past. Take care to remember what we've already discovered in these previous chapters. Take care lest the good things we've received from the Lord drift to the edge, fall out and fall over from our life. Take care to remember them. So we come to this chapter 8 of Deuteronomy tonight. And the first thing I want us to think of is verses 1 through 6. Where we have the loving concern of God to his people. The loving concern, and the theme is there given to us in verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. In all that is given to us here in recounting the 40 years in the wilderness, in all of these darker experiences, in all of these hard and harsh times and years, the one theme that is given to us in verse 5 is, it was as God the Father dealing with a child. That's the theme of a loving concern of God to his people. We saw last Sunday morning the way in which there was the training as well as the testing of Peter especially and all of the disciples. Especially for Peter, when in the midst of the storm and the weather and such like, they were making no headway whatsoever. They were right out in the middle. It was between 3 and 6 in the morning and they were making no progress whatsoever. And the Lord came walking on the water towards them. And the way in which there was different reactions, and eventually Peter went out to join the Lord and he started to sink. The Lord took hold of him, took him into the boat. And all of that experience. And you get the conclusion given to us in Mark chapter 6, describing the same event. In verse 52 it says, and they did not learn the lesson of the bread. What is the passage telling us? Here they were out in a storm, a different set of circumstances, but they didn't take what they learned about the bread and apply it in the storm. They didn't take what they discovered about the power of the Lord there and apply it then. You see, the Christian life is about learning. Some do, some don't. But it's a constant discovery, and that's what the Lord is speaking about here in the beginning of chapter 8. The future is unknown to them and unknown to us. We might know something of the broad outline of the future, what's going to be happening tomorrow. We can all roughly paint a very sketchy picture of what tomorrow holds. But all the minute, intricate detail of it, we don't know. And that ignorance or not knowing causes us anxiety at its least, or dread at its worst. We don't know what might be there waiting for us round the corner tomorrow. But we need to remember. Remember the loving concern of the Father to the child, God to us, his people. Remember the loving concern we've known in the past. Remember, God does not change. So therefore we are equipped to face and overcome these fears and the shadows cast upon our lives by the future in front of us. A loving concern. Moses, when he starts speaking to the people here, he starts from where? Verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. He goes right back and he starts from these 40 years. Interesting that he does that. These were difficult years for the people, but they were not wasted years. Disobedience on their part kept them out of the land for so long. But the Lord was not parted from them. They rebelled and they walked away. But as we saw there in verse 5, the Lord pursued after them. There are times in the Christian's life, yes, times painted with bright colors, pleasant times for us. But there are also these overshadowing darker experiences. But we learn lessons from these darker phases that prosperity would never teach us. We learn lessons from these darker experiences that prosperity would never teach us. We're all getting on. We can all look back at young Christians. I can see it, young ministers also. We can all look back and we can see they seem to be so free, calm. They seem to be getting on so well in the Christian life and ministry. Nothing troubles them, nothing worries them. And our reaction to that kind of assessment, just for a fleeting moment, our reaction might be to envy them. But very quickly, no. We have been through hard times. And there we've learned something of the Lord. They lack that. But what we've discovered about the Lord is precious and so very personal to us. Think of Daniel for a moment. It was hard for him to maintain a testimony to the Lord that's given to us in chapter 6. It was hard for him. And he was tested because he eventually had to stand up for the Lord. And doing so, he was cast into the lion's den. Now that's hard. But there in the lion's den, the Lord joined him. And he knew the Lord in these hard circumstances. And so therefore, there are some lessons, there are some blessings that come to us only out of troubles. The loving concern that the Lord had for his people, yes, they were in the wilderness, but he taught them things in the wilderness that prosperity could not teach them. So here we have it then. Verse 1. That you may go in and live. That's what the Lord's intention, that's the resolve of the Lord for these people. His loving concern to these people was that they should go in and live. And he's making and has made abundant provision for them to that end. But they have got to learn what that means. They've got to learn that living means more than just eating and drinking. In the wilderness, remind ourselves, in the wilderness the Lord provided manna for them. Kept their body going. It wasn't any great food to look at and by judgment, human judgments at least. There wasn't anything great and, what have we got in these days? The Great British Bake. It wasn't anything attractive like that at all. It was just plain wafers, manna. But whatever it was, it supplied all the nutrients, essential elements, everything that they needed was packed into that wafer as it came to them. The Lord provided for their bodies and all of their demand. But that wasn't enough. The Lord also spoke to the people through Moses. And the Lord, for these 40 years, was not only, he was removing the rebellious from the nation, he was also removing the rebellion from the people. He was removing the rebellious from the nation, He was also removing the rebellion from the heart of his people. And he was repeating eternal and spiritual realities and truths to them. Yes, eat and drink and you survive. But to live, you need to receive and obey the word of our God. To enjoy that inner peace and purpose of life. To make us aware, to develop, to feed, to grow in the Lord. Sometimes the Lord holds back on abundant physical provision, giving us only what is necessary in order that we might value what is spiritual. The loving concern. We know the way in which these words were spoken and referred to by the Lord when he was tempted in the wilderness. 40 days. It's not without significance that it was 40 years these people were in the wilderness. He was hungry. And the temptation was, take these stones and turn them into bread and eat that you might satisfy your hunger. And the devil, of course, was saying, well, if you do that, you know, you're going to satisfy your hunger, but also you're going to confirm the testimony from the note of heaven. Remember in Matthew 4, the very end of chapter 3, the very last verse, the end of it before you come to the temptation, there is that testimony from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The temptation that the devil exercised was more than just simply to provide food for his body. The Lord was relying on and trusting in the word of the Lord. Jesus knew of that relationship. He knew what it meant by way of providing and protecting him. He knew all the consequences of it. There was no need for him to go any further. There was no need for him to test it by turning these stones into bread. In fact, were he to turn the stones into bread, it would doubt the very truth that he had to affirm it like this. That loving concern of the Father to the Son, and sometimes we struggle to express it in its fullness, but that loving concern of the Father for the Son was known by the Son. And he believed, and he trusted that. And nothing further needed to be done, and nothing further needed to be said. Living, verse 1, living comes through trusting. Loving concern, yes, the Lord may lead us into difficult, bewildering, sometimes even bitter experiences. And he does so much to mature our trust in him. Changes come. New situations develop. They're not as threatening as perhaps they might appear to us in the first glance. They may be the means to discover just what's happened in our spiritual life. These wilderness experiences, these testings which come according to verse 5, perhaps the Lord is speaking to you and me just to show us exactly where we've come to, where we've not come to in our prayer life. How we've let things drift along the way. The way perhaps we've lost something of the transparent joy we once knew. And all of that just because we've allowed what other people to think of us to be more important than what God thinks of us. Yes, testing times can be learning times. And through these hard experiences, what is the Christian to cling on to as the Lord takes us through these times of the wilderness 40 years? Again, we have it there for us. Verse 6. Thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. You shall walk in his ways and you shall fear him. To obey, to walk, and to reverence the Lord. That's what we need to hold on to. It's all too easy, and it comes too quickly, to grumble and to complain if the path we walk takes us into dark passages. And we've got to remember what we had in the past. We're to remember the wisdom and the grace we knew then. We're to remember the lovingness, loving provision and care of our Father for us, his children. And it hasn't changed. He is still the same to his own. So that's the first thing, and I've taken quite deliberately some time with it to linger upon it, the loving concern. But let's go through the rest more quickly. Not only that, but verses 7 through 16, we have the unbounded provision that God has made. The unbounded provision. Go through this chapter again, especially verses 7 through 16, and linger over all the adjectives that are given to us there. The Lord doth bring you into a good land. Brooks of water, fountains of depths that spring out of valleys, a land of wheat and barley and vines, pomegranates, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. As you read it, there's multiplied time after time the unbounded provision of God. And therefore, as they are showered with all of this abundance, as they are showered with it all, there's a danger that lingers at the edge of the Christian's life. The danger is forgetting the hand that has opened and given us what we've got. Who is it that has brought you thus far? How can you explain your existence? Verse 13. Thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. What did he do? Who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. 40 years is a long time to spend on the move. Who guided you? Verse 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness? Well, if you're on a journey for 40 years, it's a journey that's fraught with dangers on every hand. Who protected you? Verse 15. Wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, and there was no water. And the Lord provided for you the water that you need. 40 years of instruction. Yet how quick they are to forget it and to let it fade from their memory. The Lord has changed their circumstances. Yes, change has come to them. Change comes to us. Life is now rich for them. They're captivated with the present. They're enthralled by what's going on round about them. All of these adjectives, all of this provision, this unbounded provision that God has made for them. Everything like that is going on around them. And it's so easy for them and for us to forget the mercies of the past. The open hand, yes, we can forget. But also we can shun any further dependence on the Lord. This land they're into, with all of the provision that it's got for them, it's a fruitful land. And in that land, prosperity. Prosperity is going to attack, erode, and ultimately may remove a dependence on the Lord that they once had. In the wilderness, it was different. There, they had nobody else to help. They relied on the Lord, and he never let them down. He gave them manna, and they collected the manna. Simple, daily routines of faith and trust. But now everything is different. On every hand, there is provision on lavish proportion and scale. There's always something to attract them. There's the sparkling water over the brook as the sun catches the droplets. There's the fields of grain that are just waving with the breeze on a summer day. There's the orchards with every branch filled. You can just go past and take a fruit off and eat it as you walk. And all of that is in contrast to the sand in their sandals, the sand in their food, and the sand in their bed as they slept at night. These things we'll forget about. The unbounded provision of the Lord, it was there for them, yet they had no recognition of it. They had no regard to the hand that provided them. The danger that they were in, and the Lord says, remember. And there's this. When we disregard the kindness of God, when we disregard the kindness of God, it's not long before we disobey the word of the Lord. I've used the illustration. When the glass is full, it's a hard thing to hold it steady. When the glass is full, it's a hard thing to hold it steady. And that's the test they were in, experiencing the unbounded provision of God. How did they respond? How did they behave? So, yes, we've got the loving concern, the unbounded provision. The third thing I want us to come to in verses 17 to the end of this chapter is the solemn warning. The solemn warning that is given to us here. Here we have them. They're going to settle down in the land and they're going to enjoy this unbounded provision that God is going to make for them. And what were they going to do? They were stealing from God. They were stealing from God. They were stealing his glory and praise. They were holding back their service and commitment. They were stealing from God. The danger that they were in was the danger of pride. There it is, verse 17. You will say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me all this wealth. All of my efforts have got it for me. There's an echo here of the familiar passage I've often quoted. Daniel chapter 4 and 30. And Nebuchadnezzar goes out on his balcony and has a view out the land of all it holds and offers room. And he says, oh yes, I got all that myself. The same as we hear of this place here. The pride. There's no place whatsoever for the wisdom, the strength, the perseverance the Lord gives. There's no place whatsoever for the blessing the Lord has bestowed. The Lord here, we're told, verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. The Lord had made a promise that he would provide for his people, and he's true to the promise of old. He's made that promise, entered into that covenant, and he's delivered on it. But what about the people? What about these people now? God has been up to the mark, have they? The vows they made meant nothing now that they were in the lap of luxury. Pride smothered them. And the next step was so easy. Not only were they filled with pride, but we're told here that they went looking for a substitute. If thou shalt forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods. Once you've dismissed the Lord from your life and from your thinking and the source that all you've got, once you've done that, you go looking round about for another focal point. Someone else to follow that's not so demanding, more accommodating, more acceptable, more convenient. And they were bombarded with the alternative. Oh, Baal fills the bill. He's the god of prosperity for the land, for the animals, for yourselves. Come on, follow him. And he's not as demanding as Jehovah. You're allowed to do this, that, and the other. Come on and follow Baal. But as they went that way, What a solemn word is spoken to us there in verse 19. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. It's that word, I testify, that gives it solemnity. It's sure. Later in their history, it happened. The land that they were going to enter and to enjoy one day was going to be taken from them, and they went into exile. We see a growth today in different places at home and overseas in the church. And it's glad and we're pleased to see such spiritual work expanding. But there's always a danger. A danger for people, minister, congregation, denomination. The danger of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. The Christian is not content with any alternative. Yes, for a moment, pride and such like can well up within us. And we can go for a moment after substitutes and alternatives. And the Lord speaks this to them and to us still. But for the real Christian, for the true believer, he or she is not content with any alternative. The Christian was created by the work of God's power. The Christian has a desire in him for God's word. The Christian has a fellowship with the Lord and the Lord alone. And that desire never leaves the believer. Oh yes, there may be times when we dabble with other things. There may be times when we try to fill our lives with alternatives. But it always fails. Because there is nothing and nobody that can satisfy us as the Lord does. Change comes. And change comes to them and to us. But we've always got to hold on to what we knew and experienced of the Lord in the past. Today, if I can just draw it all to a close, conclusion, application. Today there is so much available round about us. We are bombarded with it that makes life so easy for us. Life is not as demanding as it once was. You and I can settle down into a routine. We have it for our physical life. We can even have a routine for our spiritual life. And there is relatively little or anything to disturb us. We are, what does it say about Jeremiah about the Moabites? They were like wine left on the lees. They were not poured out and decanted. They were not disturbed. That's what Moab was like. He was never troubled. Sometimes that can happen today. We can never be troubled. We're content the way things always have been. And that's a danger. But so is also the other way. When change does come, and when change comes with pressure and intensity of application to us, sometimes that very change loosens the grip we've got on things and we let them go. Today, people try to get by with just simply the routines of life, with that kind of fare. Living in that kind of environment, people today go no further than the latest offering on the table that is spread before society today. People try to live by bread and water alone. People try to exist drawing on these resources only. But we will never live life to the full on such meager rations. Only as we pay heed to God's word, only then will we enjoy the portion that God has for us. The Lord, yes, he is to be heard. as he speaks through these darker times to them in the wilderness, that they learn the lesson. The Lord is to be heard as he speaks through darker times. The Lord is to be thanked in the good times. And the Lord is to be obeyed in the future times. As they and as we face change of whatever kind, from whatever source, with whatever effect upon us, we need to heed the warnings and the counsels of the Lord, to remember the experiences and the blessings from the past, what we've enjoyed along the way, so that we can face both the change and the consequences they bring, that we might remember the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, thy word comes to us with power and application day after day as we sit underneath it, and our lives are exposed to examination and its power. And where we learn, Lord, of things that are wrong in our lives that need to be corrected, grant to us, Lord, the strength, the wisdom, and the grace to attend to these things. But also, wherever change comes and things alter in life, or at whatever time scale or intensity, help us, Lord, nevertheless, to hold on to the things that are precious to our own soul, the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he's achieved and bestowed upon his people. Lord, our gracious God, grant to us to hold on to the basic and the fundamental Christian experiences, and help us to stand and to weather whatever change, whatever pressure bears down upon us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We close by singing then from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are, and honey from the comb that droppeth sweet afar. Moreover, they thy servant warn how he his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. Psalm 19 from 8 to 11, the statutes of the Lord are right. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.